You were one of my favorite players. I thought anybody that was playing ball at 16 must have been pretty doggone good, and that really impressed me. That was my goal, although I fell a little bit short of that. I'll ask you, I don't know, 14, 15 questions, and if you just answer them as long or as short as you want to, you know, whatever you feel like saying. You were the youngest player in the American League ever. Were you second to Nuxall, or was Tommy Brown younger than you when he first played, do you know?
Repeat that. Was I second to Nuxall?
As far as age, or was Tommy Brown? Tommy Brown was also 16 when he played in the National League.
I remember Tommy Brown, but Nuxall was, I think he was before me.
I'll tell you, I've got it. Okay. That may be, but... yeah, I believe so. You were 45, weren't you?
What do you mean 45?
What year?
43.
43. He was in 44.
44, and he was after me.
Yeah. And I think Tommy Brown was in 44, but he was 16. He may have been born. You were born in January, is that correct?
January, yeah.
Yeah, I think he may have been born in December, which would have.
Tommy Brown.
He was an infielder, came up with the Dodgers, and he is the youngest player ever to hit a home run in the majors. He was like 17 years, 6 months, or something like that.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Fairly undistinguished career. Youngest player nationally, Joe Duxall, June 10th, 1944. You were September 6th, 1943, so you were a good 9 months ahead of him. Did you go straight out of high school, or were you still in high school at that time?
I quit high school and went to Philadelphia when the team come back. I went for a tryout when I was 15, and then he said, get back here as fast as you can next year. I went to school, and as soon as the club came back from spring training, I quit school and went down there and stayed with the club as a just pitching batting practice for a long time, and later on I started making some road trips with them, and then of course in September I signed a contract.
Were you a pretty big kid at the time?
Oh yes, I was very, very big, very strong. I think I was that time I was 6 foot. I weighed about 185.
So you were just about grown.
Yeah, I just about finished.
And Nuxall took him, I think 8 or 9 years to make it back to the majors after that one time. You stayed there, so that's a...
Yeah, he went down to, he pitched a little bit and then went down to the minors, I think, and then come back.
Yeah. And you stayed. Did you ever play in the minors? I remember hearing that about 1954, you were going to be sent down.
After my career, yeah. I left the club, Philadelphia, and let's see, when was it? Somewhere around March or April, soon into 54 season. I went over to Cardinals for about a month.
Mm-hmm, I remember that.
And then I finished that year out on the Coast League with Portland, Oregon. And then I played out there the next year. And then I come down here to San Antonio in 56 and 57. And then I quit.
Okay, and that's why how you ended up in Texas.
Yeah, that's how I ended up in San Antonio. I liked it very much. I just decided to move here.
It is a nice area.
Oh, yeah.
Your first game, I'm sure you remember that.
Well, the first time I pitched was in relief. It was against the Yankees. In fact, it was the same day I signed the contract. Of course, my parents had a sign.
Uh-huh.
And after I signed, players were out on the infield already. He said, get out there and get your uniform and stuff. And somebody said, go to the bullpen, which was very exciting. And then I was sitting there, and somebody said, warm up. And he said, you're in there.
I'll be dark.
I didn't have time to get excited. It was only an inning or two, I think, against the Yankees. But if I remember right, I think I got him out.
Oh, that's good. That's a very impressive start.
Yeah, well, like I say, we were losing, I think, and which we did quite often.
Oh, yeah, that was not a good period for the A's.
But actually, I kind of beat around. I was 44 then. They just kind of fed me relief jobs. And then, of course, I went to server 45, 46, and 47 I come out. And then after I spent 2 years in there, I kind of relieved jobs again until, well, it was a certain time in there. He decided, I guess, to start me. And I pitched my first game in Detroit, which I won. Well, I won my first three.
That's pretty good.
First three, and then the roof caved in. I wound up with winning four and losing six. I think that was my record in 47. I'm not too darn sure.
Yeah, it is. I've got it here in front of me.
But I pitched some good games. I lost my first one against the Yankees. I remember that was a very good game. I think Rashi pitched against me. And I think he had a one or two hitter, and I had about a three hitter. They got two runs off him, two home runs off me, and I think they beat me 2-1.
You pitched two shutouts that year.
Well, possibly.
Yeah.
47?
Yeah, 47. Two, four wins, two of them were shutouts.
I know the first one was a shutout. I think I beat Detroit 4-0 or something like that.
You didn't have the best bunch of hitters behind you that anybody ever had.
No, of course, we can say we had a losing ball club there for all the years I was there. I think we ended up 4-1, but then you got to say, well, maybe you contributed to it too, you know. But after the years are over, it gets pretty despairing when you go out there and you give up a run or two and you already believed you lost the game because...
Yeah, that must be awfully frustrating.
Hard for us to get runs. And it always seems when you're on a losing ball club, if you get five runs, well, they get six. And
mm-hmm.
If you get one, they get two. Just always a little short. But I wish in my career I would have been... traded off to I would have liked to go into Detroit or Boston, which I almost made it, except for another party that was supposed to be going with, and I never left them go. So
what? Somebody vetoed a trade?
Yeah.
To where? To Detroit or to Boston?
They wanted Eddie Joost. They wouldn't let him go. It fell through, and I wish I'd have been traded, though, just to see if I could have done any better.
Who were they going to get for you guys?
I don't know who was. I have no idea, but I know it was either Detroit or Boston was the two teams, I think, that were after us.
Well, the late 40s, another pitcher for the Tigers could have meant the difference. They were close several times.
I always pitched good ball against Detroit, and I liked to play in that park for some reason, I guess they were willing to gamble with me. That's where I wish I'd have went, really.
Mm-hmm.
I used to like Detroit a whole lot.
In 48, you had a very good year. Actually, the A's were their fourth that year, and that was the closest, fewest games out they'd been in like 20 years.
Yeah, we should have won the pennant that year. We had a good pitching staff. There was about three or four other ones that had a better record than I did there. And, going into September, I think we were, the first four teams were percentage points apart.
No, no kidding.
And I remember, we come home from Boston and Eddie Joost had bruised his hand real bad. And he was having a good year leading off. He had some 20 home runs there just leading off. And we dropped, I think, something like seven games right quick, which sank us in fourth place. And then we had to play the last game of the year to cinch fourth place, which I was lucky enough to pitch, and I think I beat Detroit again. No, I beat the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
I beat the Yankees, but I don't think they put their heart into it too much because they had it all cinched up. But that was a pretty good year. We had some good pitching, and I think, if I'm not too mistaken, Forrest Fain won the batting title that year, or was it?
He didn't win it.
I think it might have been 50, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a year or two later. But
yeah.
That was his second year. He was a 280 hitter. He was a good, legitimate ball player.
Yeah, he was doing good. All of them are doing good.
The team tailed off the next year, but you still had a pretty good year. You were 9-12. But then, evidently, all hell broke loose with you on the mound. You had 2 years of...
Let's say in 50, I had, was it 50? One year I had 11 of 7 there.
That was 52.
52, and then 9 and 12, and then I had 1 and 12.
Yeah. But you were second in the league in saves that year.
1 and 12 was a pretty good year for me. Even though I lost so many games, well, they had me in relieving a lot that year.
Yeah.
And really, I had a pretty good year. In fact, I got a race the next year. It wasn't a hell of a lot, but I got a race just on.
Well, you were second to Ellis Kinder in saves. They didn't count saves at that time, but they went back and counted them.
They didn't count them that time. It didn't mean a hill of beans in contract time. You know, it's won and lost is about all they ever had an argument on.
Yeah. Well, they must have known that you were effective or you wouldn't have gotten the money.
Oh, that's another thing. Then next year, everything was reported I'd be relieved again because I did fairly well, and I said, I don't look good. I just assumed as long as I know what I'm doing, but as soon as the season started, hell, I was a starter again, and then relieve, and then start, and relieve, which he's done a lot with those pitchers. It hurt us. And I guess you have to do that with a loose ball club, try to find somebody. I know every year that he stuck with me as a starter. I had fairly good years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of, he'd done a lot of, if a guy was a starter and would lose his start, why, he would go to the bullpen and somebody else would start until they found somebody that could, you know, win pretty consistently.
Do you have difficulty keeping a rhythm, not knowing what you're going to be doing next time?
Surely, yeah. You were a long reliever and sometimes short reliever. They didn't have all that stuff those years, you know. It's just anybody that was available went in there.
Yeah. Is there, you're in the majors, what, 10 or 11 years, 11 years, I guess. Is there one game, maybe that first start or something else, that stands out most in your mind?
Well, nothing too exciting happened. I was pretty pleased one time, I think it was 48, when I beat Chicago and hit my first home run. You know, pitchers always like to hit.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a grand slam. That was my first home run. Of course, I always did like to hit.
Well, that's my next question. You were, for a pitcher, you were probably as good a hitter as there was, a whole lot better than most. Did you ever, I think you played the outfield once or twice.
Yeah, I played the outfield a little bit, and I'd done quite a bit of pinch hitting. And I was pretty successful in pinch hitting there for a while. That one year, I won a couple games in the ninth inning with two out.
You were 7 for 16 and 48 as a pinch hitter. That's pretty doggone good in anybody's book.
Well, I used to like to hit. I felt like I could hit. I had more confidence hitting.
Did you ever consider switching positions, going to the outfield?
Oh, Lord, I wish they would have talked about it so many times, but every time we would turn around, they needed pitchers so bad.
Yeah.
I've known times when we only had two pitchers available to pitch on the club.
Oh, boy.
Everybody had sore arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had, in fact, one of those times was, I was pitching in Chicago, and I think the first inning they scored something like 17 runs off me. And I mean, they were just bloop, little singles here, little single there, and one through the infield. And I come in the bench, we had no pitchers, and of course he asked me if I could finish the game, and I said, hell yeah. And I shut him out the next 7 innings, and then the 9th inning, I think they scored a run or two on an error. But I got one of the biggest hands, I think, from the Chicago fans I think I ever got in the ball game.
Sounds like you earned it.
Well, Charlie Harris, I don't remember him or not. He was a tall old boy from Florida. Him and I, at that time, were the only two available pitchers. Everybody had sore arms.
Wow. Well, you got to take one for the club every once in a while.
In fact, I was on the disabled list one time and stayed at home off a road trip in my later years. And they called me up to come pitch in Cleveland.
From the DL?
Yeah, with a sore arm. And then... Well, I lasted about 3 or 4 innings, and then, of course, your arm kind of goes bluey, you know.
How was your arm over the years, starting that young, throwing an awful lot?
I had a good, strong arm. Really look back on my career, I think I heard it when I was even in the service that young, and it never showed up until latter years. It started after that after that, it just started going downhill. I heard it, and it never did come around. I had a hard time in spring training sometimes. And then I remember I went barnstorming with Danny Littweiler one year at the end of the year, and I heard it again in that cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was, from then on, I was just hanging on, I guess.
So you think the original injury probably occurred in the service?
Pardon?
You think the original injury probably occurred in the service?
I wouldn't doubt it, because I remember we were playing a ball club over there. Of course, you know, in the service, you don't get real good shape.
Yeah.
They were giving me a pretty hard time, and of course, I started throwing harder and harder, and I felt it kind of hurt a little bit. Of course, I was so young, you know, it never showed up. I just never thought about it until I did get a sore arm, and I kept thinking way back, you know, about it.
Kind of hard to pinpoint one after a few years, though.
Yes, and then again, it may not have been, but I know I heard it that one time over there. I tell you, it's no fun having a sore arm.
I bet it's not.
I don't envy these guys anymore, I say.
Well, what about... There's a lot of changes that have occurred. That's, you know, it's been 50 years, darn near, since you started. I guess, you know, the money, the DH, AstroTurf, indoor unions, expansion, gloves big enough to take up the whole side of the infield, television money and all that. What do you think the major change that has affected the game has been since from your time to today?
Well, the biggest changes they made is... get so technical in these, well, since I was a pitcher, of course, if you look at that, they don't care as long as the pitcher goes five or six innings. They just tell them, give me five or six good innings, you know, which in our day, of course, the only argument we had is winning and losing. And
mm-hmm.
We got into the eighth, ninth inning in a close game, why, they wouldn't dare pull us out. I mean, we were going to lose it or win it, you know. Win it or lose it ourselves.
Yeah, now they'll pull a guy out with
it. If you got one that close, and they put in a reliever and he loses it, you know, it gets lost. And then you got to wondering whether you should have stayed in or not. But that's a big change. Of course, it's gotten technical, and they got their relievers and their short men and stuff like that, which is all right. It's another way of playing, but that's a big change.
Mm-hmm, the management of the pitching staff in general.
Yeah. The whole system, the way they operate. And surely, of course, we old-timers sit here and say, oh, God damn, you can't pitch nine innings. Nobody pitches nine innings. But, you know, if you get geared up for that, that's the way it'll be.
Go ahead.
The other thing I don't like in baseball today is that designated hitter.
Yeah.
I think pitchers ought to hit for themselves.
Well, some guys would go 1 for 70, might disagree with you, but you were a hitter.
Well, I think most of them could hit better if they knew they had to hit.
Yeah, well, practice, I guess, makes anything improve.
Yeah.
Talking about the pitching, I talked to him. I don't know if you knew him or remember him. J.W. Porter played in the American League in the mid-50s, early in mid-50s. J.W. Porter?
Yeah.
Was a catcher, played for the Browns and Tigers and Indians. He managed at the end of his career three years in the Expos system, and he was told as a manager that he was to limit the boys to 50 or 60 pitches and then take them out. This was in Class A ball, and his complaint was that there's no way that they could ever learn to pitch nine innings if they were only allowed to throw that many pitches.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean today. You know, they tell them, just give me five, six good innings, and of course, they get geared up for that. They have no. We had to pace ourselves, you know. We try to get by with the least effort we could in the beginning, and then bear down at the end. But they can start right from the beginning there, because hell, if they run out of gas, they just take them out.
Yeah, six guys sitting in the bullpen waiting to take over.
Yeah, they're happy, and if they continue to do that, why, it'll be pretty hard for them to go nine innings.
Sure, whatever works.
Have an easy game. It's all right. It's just a different way of playing, but some times, you know, a guy pitches a one-hitter and they take him out. That's pretty hard, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, with take him out in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hope they get a run or a pinch hitter or something like that, but they don't hesitate.
No, that's the way it is. The other guy's going to do it. You've got to stay with him, get a fresh arm in.
That's the way they play, so I guess they're geared up for it.
When you were playing, there were some pretty good hitters around the American League. Who was the best one hitter you think you saw?
Oh, there were some real good hitters around those days. And, of course, there's some that always give a certain pitcher a fit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like Johnny Mize, the old guy used to, I could never get him out.
That was my next question. Who was the toughest one for you?
Yeah, he was. It just seemed like his bat looked about 40 inches long and about as wide as a 12 by 2. But, you know, and guys like Williams, there were a lot better hitters, but Williams really, oh, he beat me, you know. But he never gave me that much trouble.
Uh-huh.
Guys like that. There was always some, good hitters. Yoki was giving me trouble because he was the kind of guy, if anybody ever pitched him, they know he was hard to pitch to because he could hit a ball any place.
Yeah, his strike zone was the ballpark.
He was just so well-balanced and so quick with his arms that he was one of these that says, throw it and I'll hit it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word is. That's the way a hitter should think, I think.
Yeah.
You know, guys like that, Mantle. Of course, Mantle come in pretty late when I was getting out. I think he come up, what did he come up, in the 50 or something?
50 or 51.
51, yeah, I was having a hard time then. But he was improving pretty good. He was fast, good. He hit a couple out of me in the Shot Park, rattled the deck up there.
Yeah, he rattled a lot of them now. Who was the, not just best hitter, who was the best all-around player, do you think, of your time?
Oh, I don't know. You take guys like Billy Martin, for instance. He was a hustler.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Rizzuto. Those guys could hit, they could bunt, they could field, they, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Gordon. Lou Boudreaux was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. And I'm talking about all around now.
Sure.
You've got some that are great hitters and then a little lax in the field, you know, and stuff. But, yeah, Lou Boudreaux was a great one there. Old Vern Stevenson was pretty good. He's a pretty good third baseman, better than most people thought.
Yeah, he's, I think, very underrated when you look at his record, both with the bat and the glove.
That darn Boston team, you know, one year there, I think, when they won the pennant was, what, when did they win it, 48, 49?
Cleveland beat them in 48 in the playoff.
Yeah, 48, that was 48. Well, I think if you look back in the records, you'll find that there was about five or six guys up there that were tit for tat, over 100 RBIs and 40 home runs there, going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
God, we went in there to play a series one time, a four-game series. They scored 40 runs off of us.
Wow.
They were devastating.
Yeah. That's a place that we done you well. They needed another pitcher. That's why they didn't win it.
That's when they had, Drope on first, and Bobby Doerr was there, and Ted Williams.
Stevens and Dom DiMaggio.
Dom and Stevens, God, those guys always hit 30, 40 home runs.
Yeah.
They were tough to beat that year.
But they were beaten.
We never beat them in 2 years. And I had the distinction. That was the one game, you talk about a game that I felt pretty good. We hadn't beat Boston in Boston in 2 years. And then I got hooked up. That was after old Des Trout got traded to Boston. And I got hooked up in I think it was 11th inning game. And I beat them.
Trout?
Trout started.
Mm-hmm.
And that big old Al Benton relieved.
Oh, yeah.
And I beat him in 11 innings. And I got more publicity out of that game than a lot of games. And I forget because never did let me live that down. I'm pumped. If I wouldn't have been so damn old, I'd run out of gas, he said.
Yeah, that was about his swan song then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was just about through.
Yeah, he was in his final years. Now, that was a good picture, too.
Who?
Newhouse were together then.
Yeah, they were about as good a one-two as you were going to find. Who was the best pitcher you think you saw in your days? good. That's a good attitude. The so many guys today don't sign or want money for it.
Well, same people are gonna see them coming up and going down at the same, same time. So.
Yeah.
No, that's one thing I think I'm pretty proud of. I don't think it ever went to my head or anything.
That's great. You will probably get a boost in autograph requests when this is published. It's going to be in a magazine called Sports Collectors Digest, which is pretty much geared to baseball and football card collectors, but they do publish a few other things in there, too. And I suspect that you'll probably have a month or so in which your requests will probably double or something. Hope that won't bother you.
No problem.
Good. If you went back to 16 years of age, would you do this all again?
Yeah.